Welcome back to this short course on you've been asked to speak. And so we've been looking at how do you make a message that will impact people's lives and hopefully be a channel of the Holy Spirit to bring about change. And so last time we looked at organization. We looked at the first two kinds, the linear kind, that's point one, point two, point three, conclusion, and that idea of the flower, that you've got a main idea and that you just, you know, will reflect on it, reflect on the reality of that truth, and keep punching home the main point. And it's a powerful way of presentation. Now, it's hard work for those who didn't grow up in this tradition. I've done this sometimes, and it's so much fun, but it's a challenge. It's a challenge, especially those of us who have been trained in another way. But if you can do that well, know that you can bring a message home with power, such as Tony Campolo shared of his pastor's message. Now, other kinds of organization. Let me go on to another one. There's the narrative kind of organization. Now, this is, if you read a novel, this is the kind of organization, the flow of the novel information. It starts with, and maybe a brief introduction of people that will hopefully draw you into the action, but there's an inciting incident. If it's a murder mystery, there's a murder. And then there's rising action until you get to a climax. And then after the climax, there's falling action until there's a resolution, and there's the denouement, as the French would say. Now, this kind is good for telling a story. I recently heard a man use this style, and what he did is he simply took a story from the Bible, and he followed the story. And he followed it with that kind of action. First of all, the inciting incident. And I forget what it was, but it was an Old Testament story. But there was an incident that all of a sudden it looked like God's people were threatened. And it looks like things are going to be horribly difficult for God's people. Right now the one that comes to mind is the people of Israel at the Red Sea. Okay, they've had this escape from Egypt, and now they're sitting at the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army is coming against them. So the inciting incident is the fact that God has led them. Remember, he's leading them by his pillar of fire by day, a cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. God's leading them, and he leads them into this trap. There's mountains on two sides. There's the Red Sea in front of them. There's no way to escape the army of Pharaoh that is now coming against them. And so, wow, that is a huge inciting incident. And then there's the rising action of the people who are complaining and the people who are fearful and scared. And the rising action of God moving the pillar of the cloud between the people of Israel and Israel's army. And then the climax of the fact that the people are told to stand and see the salvation of their God. And Moses holds out his rod and they are crossing the Red Sea on dry ground. And then the people of Pharaoh's army try to follow them, and the sea comes back and kills them all. Then there's the falling action as they have this huge celebration at the end of God's goodness. And there's that wonderful song of Miriam, the horse and rider, he is cast into the sea. And then there's the denouement, the fact that they go on from there toward the mountain of God. This, for narrative sections of Scripture, this can be a very effective organization that you can know where you are, what you're doing, and the people can track with you because they're tracking the story. And you're just making comments about the story along the way. Another kind of organization would be textual organization. In other words, you let the text be your organization. Here's 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Now, one man made a sermon based on that passage, but he connected it with David in the Old Testament, the story of David and Bathsheba. And he says, we should resist the lust of the flesh. And what is the lust of the flesh? Well, it's materialism. And he talks about David's erosion of faith. We should resist the lust of the eyes, sensuality. David was on the roof of the palace looking over and lusting after Bathsheba. So sensuality damaged David's purity. And we should resist the pride of life, his arrogance in not confessing his sin until he's confronted. And then this destroyed David's humility until he was called back, etc. That's a textual kind of organization. So all of these are ways that can help you in your organization of a message. Now, when you organize the message to that point, now how do you handle it from there? You come to the point of conclusions. Now, I'm going to refer to conclusions as, you know, the piece that ties and applies. One of my young grandsons will come over, and he likes to do jigsaw puzzles. And you know, jigsaw puzzles can be terrible. In fact, they can easily fall apart. You know, you put a couple of pieces together that you find falling together, and something happens, and they fall apart. But when you get the whole thing connected together, all of a sudden the picture you've been working with becomes crystal clear. Now, before that, the picture is rather fuzzy. Now, you've got a picture of it. Now, we've been working on one now, and it's of transformers, these, you know, machines that transform into people-like things, back into cars, etc. So it's a puzzle of one of the movies of that. And so we're working on it, and you can put together this little piece here, and so we get together tires. We just start looking for everything that's got tires on it. So we put together a couple of sections of tires, and we understand tires. But it's not until we get the whole thing together that you see the battle that's going on and who's winning that battle. And so the conclusion is kind of the thing that brings that whole picture into focus so that you begin to see what's real, what's not, how the message fits all together. That's the genius of a well-done conclusion. Now, if you're thinking of conclusions, there are many, many mistakes to make in a conclusion. One is, don't plan it. Now, I have to give you a caveat of that. I realized that there were too many times that I didn't plan well the conclusion. And sometimes, you know, God would take that and create something in the moment that was far beyond what I could ask or imagine or even think. I had a practice at a group of prayer partners that prayed for me daily. And on Sunday morning, before I would go into the first service of the day, several of them would gather around just to lay hands on me and pray that God would use me today. And there would be times I would come to them and say, you know what, I've been working on this message, I've been struggling through it, and I have no idea how it's going to end. Now, like I say, occasionally God would take that and do something with it. Other times he didn't, and it was kind of a at the end where, you know, it was just kind of a, okay, I've brought people to this peak in the message, and now they realize there's no real peak. It's just kind of like, oop, we're done. So don't planning it. You know, if you really trust God, sometimes things good can come out of that. But it's better to plan it, I believe. I think the Holy Spirit works sometimes in ways that absolutely surprise us, and the Holy Spirit sometimes works in ways that maybe humble us. Let's put it that way. So one of the big mistakes in working with conclusions is don't plan it. Another mistake is what I'm going to call don't close the deal. Here's a cartoon that I came across. It says, Mac's a closer. That's why management loves him. You know, somebody is twisting somebody's head, right? Now, I include this as a mistake. Don't close the deal. Because this is something that maybe I have been criticized for in my preaching, if anything. I'm known as a really good preacher because I spend time on conclusion. But sometimes closing the deal is tough for me. I know that's true. Years ago, I went through a process of assessment to see if I could become a church planter. My denomination was asking me to consider moving to Minneapolis from Southern California to start a new church there. And so I went through this process of evaluation, and one of the things that came back in the evaluation was they thought I could do this well, but I had to be partnered with somebody who was effective in evangelism. Because though God has used me to lead people to the Lord, you know, when it gets down to, would you like to pray to receive Jesus Christ? I have trouble closing that deal. I don't know why. And I've worked on that, and I've improved on that to some degree. But with a sermon, it's similar. That you get all the way with all your arguments, and you don't close the deal. That all of a sudden you say, well, you better think about this. Instead of saying, here's what God wants you to do, don't close the deal, is a major kind of mistake in conclusions. A third related conclusion mistake is simply this. You're searching for a runway. You don't know where to land. You haven't planned it, and so you people are expecting you to come to a conclusion, and then you don't. And they expect you to come to a conclusion, and you don't. And that kind of thing, and related to that is this mistake, taking off again. I came across this cute little video of a plane, instead of landing, it can't land, and so it takes off again. I think of a time when I was on an air flight. I was going to Michigan. I'd been out in California, and I was coming into Michigan, and there was a snowstorm, and we were to land in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and the pilot abandoned the landing at the last minute and flew on to Detroit, which is about a 2.5-3 hour car ride or bus ride away. And so we're going on, and I just remember that sense of disappointment. Went, oh, I thought we were going to land, and we were coming home. It was at night, da-da-da-da-da. My wife, young child, were there. He was getting a little fussy, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And the sinking feeling. Well, there are some people who have that sinking feeling when they think you're coming in for a landing, and you don't. And I have in mind one man I respect. I love him dearly. But he has this problem when he preaches. He can't seem to land. And so he goes around and people are thinking that it's a landing, and it's not. And so, it's kind of like, in fact, in one church that I know of, they had this practice of singing two songs after the message. And they realized that at the end of the first song, there were people thinking, okay, we're done now. And then there would be this next song, and many people would start walking out because they had expected a landing, and they didn't land. So a big mistake, you're searching for a runway or you don't land, and it's a huge mistake. Especially if you take off again and you start on another part of the message that they aren't ready for. The discouraging finish. This is a dangerous kind of ending to a message where you end up with a real downer. And you say, you're preaching on faith in tough times. And you say, there's no real help for you. It's a time when you're going to question your faith. It's a time when, people are going to try to offer you condolence, and it's not going to work, da-da-da-da-da. So, good luck with that. A discouraging finish to your message will leave people leaving there saying, I thought it was good news. I thought the scriptures were good news, and so I was coming to hear good news. And that's a way that just puts you behind the eight ball as far as concluding your message. So we are going to continue this next time, and so we'll go on with our conclusions, but move on from problems with doing the conclusions the wrong way to effective conclusions, one that can nail your message down, In fact, one picture I use in the larger class of this is, hitting the nail on the head. Or in my blog, which is preachingacts.com, which is also a way of encouraging people in various aspects of preaching, and I post there every week. So nail it down. How can you do that? So we'll resume this next time. See you then.